This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illa Allah.
The third, Salat al-Istisqa, Salat al-Istisqa. And Salat al-Istisqa, Salat al-Istisqa, when is it done? Salat al-Istisqa, إِذَا أَجْدَبَتِ الْأَرْضُ إِذَا اجْتُدِبَتِ الْأَرْضُ وَاحْتُبِسَ الْقَطْرُ خَرَجَ النَّاسُ مَعَ الْإِمَامِ مُتَخَشِّعِينَ مُتَبَذِّلِينَ مُتَذَلِّلِينَ مُتَضَرِّعِينَ فَيُصَلِّي بِهِمْ رَكْعَتَيْنِ كَصَلَاةِ الْعِيدِ ثُمَّ يَخْطُبُ بِهِمْ خُطْبَةً وَاحِدَةً. So, if there is a drought in the land and rain does not fall, then in this case the imam should go out of the city. So of the sunnah of Salat al-Istisqa, of course I forgot to mention, istisqa is to ask for rain. Istisqa is to ask for the rain. So this is the rain prayer. And this is the other prayer that it is sunnah to do in jama'ah. It is sunnah to do in jama'ah. And when is it done? When you need rain. When do you need rain? At times of drought. So when there is drought, when there is no rain, then the people should go out of the city with their imam. And the imam here means the leader, not the imam, the prayer leader. The imam means the khalifa or the governor. So the leader of the city should go out. مُتَخَشِّعِينَ مُتَبَذِّلِينَ مُتَذَلِّلِينَ مُتَضَرِّعِينَ. All of this is a similar meaning, in a state of humility, in a state of humbleness, in a state of penitence, of khushu', and they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the rain, and they pray the salah. So they pray salah just like Eid, exactly like Eid, and he gives a khutbah, one khutbah, exactly like Eid. So Salat al-Istisqa is just like Salat al-Eid in its manners and mechanism. Two raka'at followed by the khutbah, and in the khutbah there is an extra encouragement of istighfar and Quranic tilawat, in which Allah commands you for forgiveness. Why? Because the presumption, which is Quranic, is that the reason why there is a drought is a type of punishment. So we need to ask Allah's forgiveness to get the rain. And so the ayats should be about Allah's forgiveness and asking forgiveness. And the whole khutbah should be a command to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the whole khutbah should be about the effect of sins, let's say, and the importance of returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so after you do this, وَيُحَوِّلُ النَّاسُ أَرْدِيَتَهُمْ, and they should then turn around their outer garments, turn around their outer garments. So the Prophet ﷺ was wearing a outer cloak, and when the khutbah finished, he took it off, flipped it around, and then put it back on. So what was inside went to the out, what was outside went back in. Okay? So he flipped it around and turned it back on. And therefore, for the men obviously, women do not obviously disrobe in public, but for the men, and they don't take their shirts off, this is an outer garment. For the men, if they're wearing a jacket, okay, or even if they're wearing a kufi, let's say, they literally take it off and for a little while flip it down, upside down. Just they turn it the other way around. The point being, you display an optimism of the change of scenario. You display an optimism that the situation will change. Just like I changed my cloak around, I changed my cap around, so the situation is going to change as well. That's the display of optimism. And in this salah, even if the non-Muslims come, they should not be prevented. لَمْ يُمْنَعُوا. The Ahlul Dhimma, if they come to pray, they should not be prevented. However, they should be told to be sit separate. In other words, they're not going to sit in the sufuf when we're praying. They have their own place and they can make dua as well. And of course, the reason being that, obviously, why? Because even Ahlul Dhimma, they need rain. And even Ahlul Dhimma, they might feel that, you know, for us it's difficult to imagine, that a person who doesn't believe in Islam will want to join Salat al-Istisqa and get rain. But believe it or not, it's not that uncommon. And it is, for us, we of course would never go to another faith to make dua. Because we, that's not in our sharia. Nonetheless, it is easier said than done. In the Muslim ummah, especially where Islam and kufr mixes, we always find Muslims who get involved in the practices of the other religions. Simple example of our own India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, right? What do the Muslims do around the graves of maybe even saints that are not even considered Muslim? We're not talking about Muslim awliya and saints. We're talking about saints of maybe Hindu saints. In the villages, in the faraway places, because the culture considers this person to have been a great person, it is not uncommon that Muslims are also feeling, you know what, you never know, maybe he was a great person. And they will do things. You guys understand what I'm saying here? It's something that is known, isn't it? Right? That, so the psychology of being influenced by the culture around you is very understandable. And Ahl al-Dhimma, many of them would have been very sympathetic to the God of Islam, our God. Very sympathetic to the Sharia, but their culture, they like their culture, they're not going to embrace. But when it comes to their starving kid, they have no problem raising their hands and saying, "Oh Allah, cure. Oh Allah, let the rain fall." You see the point here. So Ibn Qudama says, Ahl al-Dhimma as well, they can come, no problem. Because we need the rain. And because they are human beings as well. And because their dua can also be effective, but they're not going to be in the middle. Let them be on their side and let them do what they want and listen to the khutbah and make their own dua. But they should also come and they should sit separate from the Muslims. Okay, and there's an interesting point of interfaith in the books of fiqh.
فَيَا ذُلِّي وَيَا خَجَلِي إِذَا مَا قَالَ لِي رَبِّي أَمَا اسْتَحْيَيْتَهُ تَعْصِينِي وَلَا تَخْشَى مِنَ الْعَتَبِ وَتُخْفِي الذَّنْبَ عَنْ خَلْقِي وَتَأْبَى فِي الْهَوَى قُرْبِي فَتُبْ مِمَّا جَنَيْتَ عَسَى تَعُودُ إِلَى رِضَى الرَّبِّي تَعُودُ إِلَى رِضَى الرَّبِّي